First, though, the political storm surrounding minimum wage rates for truck drivers shows no sign of abating. Angry owner drivers are planning a truck convoy to Canberra on Sunday. That will come ahead of the resumption of federal parliament next week, which will debate a bill to delay the introduction of the so-called safe rates of pay until next year. Queensland Senator Glenn Lazarus is helping to organise the truckies' protest, and he's written to the Prime Minister seeking urgent financial assistance for family trucking businesses impacted by the pay order, which came into effect last week. Senator Lazarus joins us from Darwin. Glenn Lazarus, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran. How are you? All right?
Yeah, very well. Thank you, Glenn.
No, that's good.
You originally supported the minimum pay rates for owner drivers as a concept, but now you're siding with the truckies. What changed your mind?
Well, I supported that not be abolished, thinking that it was going to have good intentions and it was going to be a fair and just tribunal. But at the end of the day, we see now that it's obviously very much in favour of the big end of town, the bigger companies, and of course the TWU also become. Very much beneficiaries of this order. Unfortunately, the owner drivers, the 35,000 owner drivers, are going to be out of business because of it.
So you're worried about the well-being of the owner drivers, which is fair enough, but what about the safety on our roads? You don't agree with Bill Shorten and others who say there is a link between paying owner drivers and truck drivers low rates of pay and risking safety of Australian motorists?
Well,
you don't see that link?
No, I don't. Well, I'm all for road safety, absolutely. You know, there are stats out there that suggest that 82% of the accidents are not the fault of the truck or the driver. I don't think this is about safety, Fran. I think this is about TWU requiring more members, and of course the bigger companies, the Toll and the Linfoxes, will be the beneficiaries of it because they will double their workload.
Okay.
And the poor old owner driver. These people have been doing this for decades. It's their passion. They absolutely love what they're doing, and they're just being priced out of the market. They will not receive any work because the bigger companies will get it all because they can charge less.
Well, you're right on it. You've already written to the Prime Minister asking for crisis support and financial assistance for these owner drivers. The tribunal's pay order only came into effect last week. Isn't it too soon to tell the financial impact on trucking businesses?
Oh, absolutely not, Fran. There are people already having to sell their trucks. They're getting letters from these bigger companies saying that they can't use them now because they have to charge these penalty rates and safety rates. The effect of this thing is happening right now. We need to address it right now, not after an election. I just can't believe the fact that the Prime Minister has made this an election issue. These people are hurting right now. They're not, they can't afford to wait around until August, September this year. They need to have some outcomes for them now. We need to get on to it now.
But it's pretty dramatic. I mean, the pay order was made by the Road Safety Remuneration Tribunal. You're going to introduce next week a private senator's bill, to abolish the tribunal immediately, which is a fairly drastic step, especially if the Senate votes next week to delay the safe rates until January next year. So that pressure won't be coming on anyone. Why not wait until after the election, which is what the government wants to do, and why not get all the players in a room and try and work out something more sensible?
Yeah, look, Fran, I got to say we're in April now. Nothing will be done until, say, August. In the meantime, truck drivers have taken their lives and will. Truck drivers, and this is just not for the truck drivers, the flow-on effect when it comes to businesses. And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people being affected by this. It's just wrong what we're doing. We're literally saying that owner drivers, you're going to charge this much, but the big companies, you can charge less. Of course, the consumer, the people that want their goods and chattels transported around this country, will always go for the cheaper price. These truck drivers put their house up as collateral to buy these trucks to drive trucks around Australia as a passion, as a way of life. And, of course, now there's orders come down. It's completely turned their lives upside down. And we need to act now, not after an election, if the government's re-elected. I mean, Malcolm Turnbull's no guarantee of getting in. His popularity is waning all the time. And, of course, if he doesn't get in, Labor gets in and then they want it. So at the end of the day, the poor old truck driver's left high and dry, and we need to do something right now about it.
Okay, I want to move on to some other issues because there's a lot to talk about, but just how many big rigs do you think are going to arrive in Canberra on Sunday?
Oh, absolutely hundreds, Fran, and I'll be addressing them all on Sunday. As I say, this affects a lot of people. There's a lot of people that are being affected by it, and they're very passionate, and they're absolutely worried sick about their futures, and we're going to see massive amounts of trucks down in Canberra on Sunday.
It's 18 to 7 on Breakfast. Our guest is Queensland Senator and head of the Glenn Lazarus team, Glenn Lazarus. Last night, Four Corners shone a spotlight on your former political boss, Clive Palmer, and it had evidence that Clive Palmer acted as a shadow director at his collapsed company, Queensland Nickel. Now, Clive Palmer has strongly denied this claim, and he did it again on Late Line last night. Do you think he has more questions to answer? And did you think at the time there was anything dodgy about the amount of money Clive was spending on his political campaign and where it might have come from, including from Queensland Nickel?
Look, Fred, I had no... I didn't take any notice of Clive's business side, but he asked me to run for Palmer United. I did what I thought was my job as far as campaigning and all that. I had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with Clive's business side of it. But, at the end of the day, this issue is about these poor people in Townsville. They need their entitlements. As we saw last night, there's a lot of people out there struggling, and I think it's just the right thing to do to make sure they get their entitlements.
Is that Clive Palmer's job to pay out those 787
absolutely.
Workers?
Absolutely. I mean, he's got assets, and he's got the capacity to do that. And I think he should, at the very least, make sure that these poor people get their entitlement so they can provide for their families for the short term while they're looking for new employment.
You told Four Corners last night that Clive Palmer was a bully, and it was clearly evident that you'd felt bullied by him at times, and you saw him bully others, and you said, "I couldn't deal with the stress and the sleepless nights doing something that probably goes against your beliefs." Can you give us an example of when you were bullied by Clive Palmer into voting for something you didn't believe in? Maybe the decision supporting the scrapping of the carbon tax?
Was in favour of scrapping the carbon tax. But we would come into the party room of a morning on a sitting week and the decisions had already been made, and we had no input. And as I say, I didn't have a minister in my office at all during my time as Palmer United, and he kept a very close leash, or, short leash on us, and I guess kept us in the dark. And as I say, my staff... wanted to have training, things like that, and he was very much against that. He just wanted to keep us in, very close and in the dark. And
if the decisions had been made by the time you got into the party room in the morning, did you feel like you were there as a pawn of his interests, his self-interest, and his political
absolutely.
And business interests?
Absolutely, yes.
Give me an example of when you felt what you were being told to vote in a way that was going to benefit Clive Palmer.
Well. He would just come in and say he'd been working with the government, and he'd done the deal, we pretty much had to suck it up. I don't really want to get into actual bills, but at the end of the day, Fran, he was the one that was talking to the government. He'd done the deal, and Jackie Dio and I just had to vote accordingly.
Just finally, talking to the government, Parliament's back next week. Any advance on the Australian Building and Construction Commission bill? Have you been speaking with the Prime Minister or with the Employment Minister, Michaelia Cash?
No, not really. I mean, Michaelia has contacted me on this RSRT stuff and has mentioned that, if I wanted to talk about the ABCC, she's happy to do that. But at the end of the day, they know my stance. If this isn't broadened to... deal with all misconduct and corruption, I don't want a bar of it, because I just think that this is ridiculous. This is them wanting to attack the Labor Party and the unions, and we've got far more important things to be doing than an issue that we can attack other parties with. The RSRT is a classic example. As I say, hundreds of thousands of people desperate to have this sorted, but at the end of the day, they believe that this is important to them. And we'll deal with it, obviously, and my position is still the same.
We've got to go, but are we on track for a double dissolution election?
I think so, Fran. How exciting and how expensive.
Senator Lazarus, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Okay, Fran, thank you.
Glenn Lazarus is a Queensland Senator and head of the Glenn Lazarus team. It seems that the Glenn Lazarus team, in his view, will be fronting up to an election on July 2nd.